Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the US with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the US? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. I love Fast Growing Trees because Drew and I love gardening and stuff like that, but we always forget to run our little errands on the weekend where we go to the nurseries and say, I'd like that tree over there, please. But instead, I can just sit my booty on the couch, type in fastgrowingtrees.com, and get whatever plant I want. I just recently ordered a lemon tree because, mama, when life gives you lemons, you can make lemonade and lots of delicious lemon-flavored desserts, which I'm excited about. And it's going to get to my door in 1 to 2 days, and then I'll have so many lemons. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code MORBID at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code MORBID at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code MORBID. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Spring has sprung, and the less time you spend in the kitchen, the better. That's why some of HelloFresh's delicious restaurant-quality meals come together in just 20 minutes. Get 16 free meals plus 3 free gifts with code MORBID16 at HelloFresh.com/MORBID16. Hey, weirdos, I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And this is Morbid.
A listener tales episode, everybody. Whoa, that went on a lot longer than I thought it would.
Well, because I like slowed down the blubbles.
Okay, that makes sense. I was like, whoa.
I was going, like, usually you would go like, but I went like, yeah, maybe I did elongate it.
It was long, but it's okay.
Okay.
It's all right. You got us into it. That's all that matters.
Brought to you by Euphoria, From You, and All About You.
Exactly. And this is going to have a specific theme today.
Ooh, we do love a good theme.
We love a theme. And this week we have themed everything, it seems, Nollins.
Ooh.
We have themed it New Orleans. And there's a reason for that.
There's a reason for the season. There's a reason NOLA.
For NOLA, always. Well, our reason, there's many reasons for NOLA, but our reason is there's something exciting happening with The Butcher and the Wren, which takes place in New Orleans and in Louisiana and all that fun stuff.
I've heard of that book.
So guys, the first thing I need to say is, sorry, I was talking into the side of the microphone because I had to cough.
Hey, talk into the top.
It's pollen season. So I wanted to say, you guys, thank you so much for pre-ordering my book. It's been amazing. It's been blowing my mind left and right. Like, you guys continue to amaze me. And we wanted to do something else cool for you guys. And also, maybe, like, if you haven't pre-ordered and you were thinking of pre-ordering and you were just, like, waiting a little while, or you're waiting for it to come up, I don't know.
Now's maybe the time.
Maybe pre-order now. Because if you have pre-ordered, or if you do pre-order now, you can go to tinyurl.com/, hold on, I'm coming for you, tinyurl.com/TBATW video. And I'll put it in the little show notes. I'll say it again, don't worry. Go there, upload your pre-order receipt, and a select number of these are going to be chosen at random to be winners of a video, a personalized video from me.
Ooh.
And it's going to be me telling you some little things about the writing process of this book, like the inspiration. I can tell you just like a few behind the scenes details that no one else is going to get.
Exciting!
So, and it's going to be really fun. I can't wait to tell you. So guys, upload your receipts. If you have pre-ordered already, this is a big thank you because you guys have been so fucking awesome.
And if you thought that you were gonna like censor yourself, and I was like, we don't do that here.
I almost did. I don't know. If I've just like been around the kids a lot, so I'm like used to censoring. But yeah. Whoops. Fucking awesome, yeah, is what I mean.
There you go.
And again, if you have pre-ordered or if you want to pre-order now, take that receipt that you get from your pre-order, go to tinyurl.com/TBATW video. Upload your receipt, your information. You will be entered into the drawing to be a select number of people that are going to get that personalized video that I'm really excited to do for you. And if you haven't pre-ordered yet and this is like appealing to you and you're like, hell yeah, this is my time, I'm ready. Like, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
It's your moment.
You can go to tinyurl.com/TheButcherAndTheWren, and you can buy from any number of places. You can get it on, you know, Amazon, your local bookshop, Target, Barnes & Noble, all kinds of places. So if you feel like now's your time and you want to be put into play, that's where you go. And then you can upload your receipt. And it's all really exciting.
I'm excited.
Guys, it's coming up. Like, it's coming.
It's coming up.
Like, we're going to be able to hold this thing. I'm going to hold this thing in my hands in a few months. Like, the hard cover it.
I'm going to smell it.
I can't wait to smell it.
And I'm going to go to all the Targets and bookstores near us, and I'm going to put it in the front.
All the Targets. All of them. I'm very excited, guys, and I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate what you've done and how you like jumped right on it and got me those pre-orders. And I can't wait for you to read it. I really, really, really think that you're all going to love it because I really had you in mind writing it. So I just like, I can't wait for you to read it.
I don't just feel like they're going to like it. I know they're going to like it.
I hope so.
People love everything you put out there.
Aw.
They do.
That's so nice.
I love it.
Nice. Sorry, I have like, I'm coming off of the bronchitis.
And I
went straight into pollen season. So my lungs are just like, wow, okay, thanks. But yeah.
You have the black lung.
I do. I have the black lung. Oh, I feel like Zoolander when he's like,
that's what I was just thinking.
Lung
of.
Pop. But yeah, you guys rock. I just want to let you know this is a big thank you for you. Hopefully, we'll do some more things leading up to that. But. Go get the pre-order if you haven't, and if you can, and if you already have, get to tinyurl.com/TBATW video and upload that receipt. So
it's an acronym.
That's the reason why we did a whole New Orleans theme, because why not? That's fun. And what we decided to do today was do an entire Listener Tales episode that is all your New Orleans tales.
New Orleans.
And man, oh man, you gave us some good ones.
I'm particularly excited for the first one that you're going to read today.
Is it just the title that really
It's simply the
sold
title.
You?
Because I haven't read anything else other than the title.
So the title of this one is The Listener Tale of Three Beautiful Big Bootylicious Bottom Girls and the Honorary White Girl That Could Have Kidnapped Us in New Orleans.
Amazing.
I'm ready.
Let's go.
I am ready. All right. Hello, weirdos. I am not going to be all gushy about my love for you guys. I'll keep it simple. I love you guys. I'm sorry if my grammar sucks. Feel free to change my wording to make me sound smarter. LOL. I love you already.
I'm obsessed.
My name is Caitlin, and yes, you can use my name. Thank you, Caitlin. For the sake of the story, we'll call my two friends Athena and Serena.
Ooh.
You picked great names. I feel like I should give the personalities of my two friends. Athena is a quirky person who is very free-spirited, adventurous, extrovert, who I've known since middle school. Literally, she is my favorite person to be around, especially since I'm an introvert who gets tired of people and she understands my limit.
Oh, sounds
I
like
feel
us.
You. Yeah. The other, Serena, is a nurse who is a very smart, level-headed person with a calm spirit. She also understands me being an introvert and takes out the talkative person brings out the talkative person I can become when I'm around people that I can be completely open with. We all need a friend like that.
Totally.
All of us worked together during high school at a mom-and-pop ice cream shop in a college town in northern Utah. In March of this year, we all decided to go to New Orleans.
Let's go.
Our original plan was to go to Greece. Same thing.
How'd you end up in NOLA?
But we all needed to go somewhere else. You know, why not? We all felt we needed to go somewhere else. So we changed our plans, and lo and behold, Russia attacked Ukraine. PSA for the weirdos, make sure to listen to your gut. Wow, so you were supposed to be going over there at that time.
That's wild.
Anyways, we were having a wonderful time the 9 days we were there. I freaking loved New Orleans. I thought it was just a place people got drunk and went topless for a couple of wild days. But they had so much to do, and that is coming from three girls who don't drink or do drugs. I love she's like, there's more to do than that, guys. Each day we had one fun thing we did. Then we just explored the city, going to all the bakeries and stores that they have there. Oh, that sounds so nice.
I was just going to say, I'm like so jealous of this
right
now.
I'm living through
you.
I
want to go somewhere.
I want to go to New Orleans.
I do too.
Then we would spend the rest of the night talking until the early mornings of the next day. It was very stress relieving. I can feel that.
Oh, like, totally.
Just sitting up after a nice day exploring the spooky city of New Orleans.
Yeah, with your best gal pals.
Man. So after the week of beignet-filled sugar rush high, we had each day, the day before we were leaving, we wanted to go ziplining in the bayou.
Ooh, that sounds like so much fun, but it won't after you
Come
read
on.
Elena's book.
It definitely won't after you read the book.
No.
We went to a little place about a 20-ish minute drive. There we go. We did
Ish
it.
Ish is hard.
Outside of New Orleans. We Ubered out there and planned on doing the same thing to get back. We'll come to the end of our zip line experience where we got to zip line over a crocodile. We also got to feed the crocodile marshmallows. Who knew the swimming carnivorous chomp chomp dino death machines would like something so innocent like marshmallows?
Amazing.
I love that.
Chomp chomp dino death machines.
That's exactly what they are. Anyways, we did not have service, so we did the only thing we knew to do, and that was walk to the closest town that was about 3 miles away to try and get some service or to try to get some service to get an Uber or taxi to get us back to town. We started along the long road back to the main highway and just enjoyed the beautiful nature. Of course, every time someone drove by, I would be a little nervous, but only one stopped wanting to offer us a ride. However, his truck was full of construction stuff, and I don't think we would have fit three beautiful, big, bootylicious bottom girls anywhere in there.
I'm screaming.
I'm so obsessed with you.
Beautiful, big, bootylicious bottom girls.
And I love that she's just like, we would not have fit in there, so
no.
It's not happening. So he continued driving, and we had just made it to the main highway. There were more cars driving the road than the previous, but no one stopped. I, being a crime enthusiast, had thought we were all on the same understanding that we would not be taking rides from strangers. Well, my good extroverted adventurer friend Athena, I guess, was not on the same page. For some reason, I thought that this girl, who backpacked through Europe for 3 weeks, would be a little more wary of the don't take rides from strangers rule. LOL, nope.
Uh-oh. This episode is brought to you by The Jordan Harbinger Show. Do you want a new podcast to look forward to every week? You want one that's entertaining, informative, it's packed with actionable content? I mean, of course you do. The average podcast listener, fun stat for you, actually has 6 shows in rotation. So you're most likely not just listening to Morbid, and we get it, that's totally fine. In fact, honestly, we would want to share a podcast to add to your list, which would be The Jordan Harbinger Show. It is a top shelf podcast, and it was named Best of Apple in 2018. So don't you dare ignore my suggestion to listen to this like you probably do with ones that your other friends who tell you to listen to podcasts do, you know what I mean? Jordan dives into the minds of fascinating people, from athletes, authors, scientists, mobsters, spies, even hostage negotiators. Harbinger has this like undeniable talent for getting his guests to share never been heard before stories and thought-provoking insights. He's got a gift. Without fail, he pulls out tactical bits of wisdom in each episode, all with the noble cause to make you a more informed, critical thinker to just better operate in today's world. I think that there's not a better podcast to listen to casually or seriously to expand your worldview. He has this strangely weekly segment. It's like it's strangely relatable is what I meant to say. It's not a strange segment, but it's Feedback Friday. Those are my favorite episodes because Jordan covers advice on everything from escaping a cult or psycho family situations to relationships or even like networking and asking for a raise. I am a big fan of this podcast. I think that Jordan is a goat when it comes to podcasting, and I think he has one of the most highly rated self-development shows out there right now. Point blank, Jordan Harbinger is fun, he's smart, he's funny, and he's easy to listen to. You will be pressed to find an episode without excellent conversation, a few laughs, and actionable advice that you can directly improve your life. You cannot go wrong with adding the Jordan Harbinger show to your rotation. It's incredibly interesting. There's never a dull show. Search for the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Some man stopped his car and asked if we wanted a ride, and Athena said yes. Now, I will say I felt nervous about this situation, but nevertheless, we all got in the car. All I could think at the time was, what did I agree to, and why am I in the car with this person I had met literally 2 seconds ago? I'm sure you guys are thinking the same thing, LOL.
I am.
When we were in the car, I think all the crime lessons came back all at once, and I took a side profile picture of him with my phone.
Amazing.
Smart. And wanted to send it to someone that I could trust. It's not like I can't trust my mom or dad. I just didn't want to freak them out. So I sent it to my brother that is just 2 years older than me, along with sharing my location with him for the next 2 hours. Smart. Well, he drove us to the nearest gas station, which was literally a 3-minute drive, and stopped. He went into the gas station to buy something and left his phone and car with us. At that time, Serena and I were sitting in the back and Athena was in shotgun. He then came back in the car and offered to drive us back to New Orleans if we just paid for gas. At the time, I had started feeling more at ease knowing it was just him, a mid-50s black man in the car, and he literally left his car and keys with us so that we could take at any moment. I know. That is what they usually do to make you feel secure. Then he said we could even drive to make us feel more comfortable. He kept telling us that he had a daughter and grandkids that he would hate to see on the side of the road and wanted to help.
I feel so, like if one of us was driving, that would make me feel even more uncomfortable.
Yeah, because I'd be like, I'd be like,
your hands are free.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that whole, like, I have a daughter and a granddaughter mm-hmm. thing has been used so many times before. Right. So we took him up on his offer and thought at the very least, if he tried anything, my friend could crash the car and we could get away since he wasn't wearing a seatbelt and all three of us were.
All right.
I love the thought process.
It's a good thought process.
On the way back, we laughed and enjoyed the company of this sweet older black man. He told us that his wife was never going to believe that he was in the car with 4 white girls. And we were a little confused and said, but there's only 3 of us. And he said, me, I am the honorary white girl. I'm literally obsessed.
Amazing.
So we did get to New Orleans and he dropped us off a couple of blocks away from an Airbnb and we all walked back. Once we got in, Serena and I were like, wow, that was kind of a dangerous situation we put ourselves in. And Athena turns around and says, really? Did you guys not feel safe? I felt safe the whole time. Anyways, keep it weird, but take it away, Ash.
Not so weird that you go into a stranger's car with your 3 friends, even if he is an honorary white girl, because you never know what could happen.
That could have been bad, but I'm really glad it was good.
I love that he was like, I am the honorary white girl.
Also, one, what a sweet man.
I know.
That he like, that he just wholesomely picked up three girls.
Yeah.
And like drove them to their intent, which I love that we're like all, we're like, you know, what a good man that he didn't murder these women.
I know. But I'm like, the bar is low.
It's nice that he like did that. Like yeah. he just picked people up and brought them to where they wanted to go. Like that was very nice of him.
I agree.
And then he just seemed like such a sweet guy.
Yeah.
And then for him to be like, you can drive if it makes you feel better.
I know. 2 minutes ago we're like, that wouldn't make me feel better, motherfucker. And now we're like, no. Oh my God, that was really nice of you to like, offer them.
You know what? That was really nice.
I get it though.
I love you that know? Though.
All right. My next one is called, and Elena chose these, so I don't know what I'm getting into. The Day the Ceiling Fan Blades Chose to Dip, a yeah. listener tale. And it says, hey, weirdos, I have attached a putifa of some of my creepy experiences. I hope you enjoy reading them, more so than my family and I enjoyed living through them. Hi, ladies. Feel free to use my name. It's Gretel. Yep, just like the fairy tale, because what parent doesn't like to torture their kid during elementary school? Anyway, I grew up in the New Orleans area, and just about every... Oh, sorry. So I, and just about everyone else, has some kind of spooky tale about their house, their grandma's house, or, because it's in the South, some sort of creepy-ass relative. I lived with my family in an ordinary suburban house until my sophomore year of high school, so 1992-ish. It was at that point that my parents had an absolutely fucking brilliant idea. Hey, let's save our crumbling marriage buying a 100-year-old house that needs extensive updating and spend every waking moment scraping lead paint off the woodwork.
Sounds great.
Side note, nope, don't do it, doesn't work. You'll still get a divorce, but not until 12 years after you've started the process, and you'll make your entire fucking family miserable, and your kids won't get all their shit back from storage until they're well into their 20s, and long after their new kids on the block fixation has ended. You're all shocked by this, I can tell.
It's true. I was like, what? That didn't work?
That was amazing. I knew from the night we moved in that we were not the only inhabitants. Heavy footfalls up and down the staircase and in the vicinity of my bedroom door, and the giggles of a young girl announced the presence of at least two additional occupants.
The giggles of a young girl.
Never, never, ever, even if she is in this world.
Even if she is jolly, I don't want it.
I don't need it.
No.
The footsteps belonged to a man who eventually became even more disappointed with my propensity for being late for curfew than my uptight mother.
Oh, no.
If
I was... You had a narc living with you? A spirit narc? Oh, no.
If I was 5 minutes late, my mother grounded me the next morning. But upon entering the house even a minute late, I was always greeted by a tall, frowning gentleman in a top hat with arms folded across his chest, who would place himself between me and the stairwell, regardless of which room I approached the stairs from. If he'd had feet instead of floating, oh my God, oh, if he'd had feet instead of floating a foot off the floor, I imagine they'd have been impatiently tapping.
You just came home and this top-hatted gentleman was just disappointed in you every night?
And he was just this floating top-hat gentleman, like didn't even have feet? I'd be like, I'm the disappointed one. Where's your feet?
Where's your feet?
The hell?
Where's your feet, man?
You know?
Whoa.
After my first encounter with him, when I screamed, woke up the rents and the neighbors, then had to talk my mother out of calling the police because I did not want to have to explain to the NOPD that the intruder was in fact dead.
Of the spirit realm.
I quickly became adept at squeezing past him touching or passing through him. I have no idea what would have happened if my earthly mortal body met his filmy floaty one, but the very idea of having to explain to my mother why the stairwell was covered in ectoplasm, a la Slimer, filled me with dread. Seriously.
I'm obsessed.
She was the scariest thing in that house.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm scared. Every Saturday morning after I had used a heat gun to scrape the lead, paint, from however much woodwork my mother deemed enough, I was tasked with cleaning my bedroom. Every Saturday afternoon, I would get yelled at again for failing to organize the top of my dresser and wiping up the lotions and cosmetics that were smeared across its top. Even though I had just done it even though I had just done so before my mother's arrival. That sounds horrific.
That sounds spiritual.
Yeah, I don't love that.
Is what that sounds like.
One afternoon, I had had enough and begged my giggly, ghostly roommate to please, please wait until after the cleanliness of the room had been checked before playing in my makeup. She was kind enough to comply from then on.
What a little sweetie.
Oh, that's so creepy.
Creepy, but like real sweet.
Adorable, yeah. Good listener. Eventually, I graduated from high school, left for college, my teeth just like stayed closed for a second. They were like, no, don't open your mouth.
Don't do it.
Anyways, eventually I graduated from high school, left for college, dropped out, got married, had kids, and took a whirlwind journey across the United States because of my husband's career in the Air Force. Whoa. I'm a little envious of listeners who have had spooky experiences in Utah. We did not encounter anything supernatural or exceptionally creepy while there, unless you count the neighbors who harassed us about drinking beer on our porch on Sundays. Anyway, I'm like,
anyway,
why can't you drink beer on your porch on a Sunday?
Yeah, I know. Why not?
I feel like that's the best day to drink beer on your porch.
Is this in Utah?
Maybe it's a...
Oh, it must be like a religious thing?
Or like it might even be like a dry place.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Lame.
I guess. Okay.
Anyway. Okay. Anyway, we landed where we are now in the Florida Panhandle. The second house we rented in this area was where shit really started to get fucking weird. It was in the center of 2.5 acres and surrounded by wire fencing with a gate right out the street. My husband, who grew up in rural Michigan, heard the rental agent say that we could have chickens or pigs and suddenly fancied himself a gentleman farmer.
I'm obsessed.
Amazing.
I love that your husband was just like, welp, I'm a farmer now.
Welp, yeehaw.
Now that I can,
that's
I really
a cowboy.
Should.
I don't know why I said yeehaw to that.
Why not? I'm sure some farmers say yeehaw.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh my, I was going to say giddy up. Like
giddy up. Yeah. Cowboy, you want to be a farmer. You want to be a cowboy. Guys, what's happening?
I'm in a place of cowboy.
What's happening? I think that top hat guy like stressed me out.
Me
I don't
as
know
well.
What to do. You want to be a cowboy.
I don't.
You do.
I don't.
You do. You don't understand that you do, but you do.
It's me, Jesse. Remember, I'm a city girl. Chickens come from the goddamn grocery store. Tall, mature trees and lots of brush grew on the inside of the fence, providing privacy and inky, hellish darkness under the cover of night.
My favorite kind of darkness.
Same. We soon began noticing in various places, including the driveway, that pieces of glassware and pottery began working their way up through the dirt. Broken, but together, much like pieces of a puzzle.
Cool.
This doesn't sound strange. No, it does.
Cool, though.
But these relics of the property's past would appear where nothing had been just hours, sometimes minutes before. Other odd occurrences began happening with frightening regularity. I spotted a piece of whitish cloth in an area of the yard where no whitish cloth had lain before, only to discover one cup of bra. It was dirty.
A pay bra. One cup of bra.
One cup of bra.
One cup of bra.
I'll take a cup of bra, please. One cup of a bra. It was dirty. It had been sliced cleanly through the band between the cups.
Oh.
Hate that.
That's either like extraordinarily like dirty or it's really scary and something really hellish happened here.
Yeah.
I hope it's dirty. Just for your sake.
Too dirty to clean its act up.
I'm just saying.
Not only was I not missing a bra, but the cup was too damn small to have been mine. That's relatable.
That's never my problem.
Yeah, we have different problems. One evening, my two boys and I arrived home at dusk, opened the gate, proceeded up the driveway, and saw someone standing to the side of the house.
No.
My older son and I cautiously approached to figure out what the fuck they were doing. There was no they. Instead, it was a weighted bunch of helium-inflated get-well balloons.
No.
No one in our family was sick.
No.
They were too heavy to have floated over the tree line and too far from the fence to have been tossed over the gate. Someone or something had to open or crawl over the locked gate to hand-deliver that bunch of balloons to the side of the house.
Ew.
And the fact that they're get-well balloons, that's terrifying.
That's ominous as fuck.
I threw them away, but not until the next day after my kids thought it would be funny to leave them where I'd run into them at 4:45 in the morning.
Your
assholes.
Kids are hilarious.
They are funny. She goes, assholes. I didn't say that. And we continued living our semi-rural life in what was fast proving to be a more than slightly haunted cabin in the woods. I was the first to leave in the morning, and I was the first to arrive home. Another afternoon, I came home to two terrified dogs who couldn't get out of the house fast enough.
Aww.
Once I managed to chase them back inside, I flopped onto the couch to catch my breath and looked up. A quick text to the fam proved that the ceiling fan had been on and intact when everyone else left. It was now still and only had two blades.
What?
The rational side of my brain assumed that the fan was off balance and the screws holding the blades were to the body must have slowly loosened as the fan rotated at high speed, thus allowing them to fly off. A quick examination of the fan showed otherwise. The metal pieces that connected the blades to the fan were twisted and deformed as though the blades had been violently ripped off and thrown.
What?
My irritation at the dogs quickly disappeared, and together we scrambled to the car and went on the hunt for some emotional support ice cream until the rest of the fan made it home. We've never found those fan blades.
What?
Even when we packed up to move a year and a half or so later.
No. What the fuck? Why did it rip the fan blades off?
And where did they go?
Where'd they take them?
The fuck? No, the next owners are going to find them, like, coming up from the ground.
Oh my God. Probably, yes, you know? Probably.
Yes. It took another 18-ish months to get away from that house. When my husband retired from the Air Force, I told him that if he didn't start the process of using his VA benefits to buy a house, then I would start the process for him. Why, yes, I was willing to commit a felony if it meant getting the hell out of that house.
Can't say I blame you.
No. 2 years of weird occurrences, including my older son waking up on Sunday morning with a snake in his bed, doors that randomly opened or shut on their own, a cat that refused to enter a particular room, and other weird happenings and strange injuries were more than I could handle, especially since the job he took after retirement requires lots of traveling, sometimes for months at a time. Oh my God, imagine being in that house.
No.
They wrote, there was no way in hell I was going to be the sole adult in that house for extended periods of time. Nope.
I don't blame you.
We found a lovely, much newer house, moved, and became friends with our neighbors. One evening, she was relating the experiences of a friend who had recently moved with her two grandchildren to a new rental house on a picturesque, do you see where I'm going with this?
Uh-oh.
2.5-acre piece of property. I wish I could say that the experiences in that house were more pleasant for this new family.
Oh no.
But unfortunately, the weird occurrences and dark energy my children later stated they felt only increased for the new inhabitants. I don't know the specifics of what they've experienced, only that repeated interventions by clergy and mediums have failed to end the activity. Whoa. Before I end this, I also want to let you know how I discovered the podcast and what it has become to mean to me and my younger son. At some point during quarantine, a friend posted on Facebook about the origins of Lake Lanier, and another recommended the episode. Hey, thanks. Years ago, my husband and I lived in that area, and I crossed that bridge damn near every day. Not knowing the history, I attributed the nausea I experienced whenever I was near the lake to morning sickness associated with my first pregnancy. I now believe the dark origins and occurrences of the lake were the cause. I told my younger son, Hi, Kyler.
Oh,
that's a cute name, about those experiences, and he expressed an interest in listening.
I love that.
As a result, we began a tradition of having a mother-son coffee date one morning a week.
Oh my God, stop. I love this.
That's so cute. It gets cuter. We get up way too fucking early, drive for an obscene amount of time out of our small little town for overpriced espresso, and listen to an episode.
I love this.
Sometimes we drive in silence, both of us laser focused on the case, while other times you two and your banter will spark a conversation.
Oh.
Sometimes those conversations are inconsequential, but more often than not, they are an insight into the adult that my kid is becoming as he prepares for his high school graduation and entrance into adulthood. I want to be the mom that you are.
Oh my God, this is just like so cool to hear.
And like, so like, I feel like every episode that I put together, man, now I'm gonna think of you and Kyler driving and listening.
Those are the things that make us like change certain things or like keep doing certain things or just like grow in some ways, because it's like these kind of stories make me just like want to do better and better each time.
It's so true. That was really fucking cool to know that. And it says, so thank y'all for those conversations and the extra connection to my kid. I absolutely love you too and hope to see y'all in person someday, maybe down here on the Gulf Coast. I'd absolutely drive home to NOLA to see a live show.
I would love to do a New Orleans show someday.
You would like literally shit your pants.
I would. I feel like it's like that is one of those shows that I would 100% do.
100%
in person.
I would love
that. And honestly, like, that just made my day.
That made my entire day.
Those kind of things, when you like, when we read these listener tales and like read the emails and stuff, those are the things that I'm like, Because everyone will see, because everybody's going to see like a negative comment or somebody who just like hates you for no reason.
Oh yeah, we all have social media.
These are the ones, everybody has social media. But when you read this kind of shit, and it can get you down, like, and ask any creator, it knocks you out. Yeah. Like, it just, you're like, why am I doing this? Yeah. Like, if I'm just, everybody hates me.
Yeah,
you know, like, you just feel that way. Even if it's one person, you're like, everyone hates me. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
But then we read this and it's like, oh shit, that's awesome. Like that, I just, like, you and your kid get to have a moment and it's like, we get to be part of that. And that makes me be like, oh fuck yeah. Like, I just love that.
That's honestly why I stay on social media, because as shitty as like some of the things that like pop up on there, like, trust me,
that everybody,
I see some shitty things,
you know,
but just connecting with people, like, especially on Instagram, like, I love connecting with our listeners. It makes you feel so much better. And you're like, that is why I do what I do.
It keeps us going. It really does. So like, please guys know, even if like, we can't possibly respond to every single thing, because we would love to. Trust me. But we see so much and we read so much. And like, I can't express this enough to you how much it means to us and how much it like actively like fuels us to keep going and keep getting better. So I just want you guys to know, like, you make a huge difference even just by saying a nice thing. Like, you really do. Like, I just want you to know that when you take the time to do that,
it means is, like, so much.
So incredibly appreciated, and that it's the only way that we keep getting better. It's
yeah.
Like, we keep being like, no, you know what? Zoe said this the other day, and like, fuck yeah, I gotta do this.
We gotta keep going for Kyler and Caitlin.
We gotta keep going for Kyler and Caitlin.
Oh, wait, no, so it wasn't Caitlin. I read the wrong name. It was fucking Gretel. How did I forget that? Like a gosh darn idiot.
Fairy tales. Gosh. We gotta keep going for Gretel and Kyler because they need to have their fucking coffee dates. Like, hell yeah.
That's just the most beautiful thing.
You guys rule.
You do.
Gretel, that was sick.
Have you ever seen somebody wearing a super duper cute, colorful pair of flats and just thought to yourself, dang, those are cute? Well, they might have been Rothy's. Rothy's are the perfect shoes for commuting and traveling. Everybody notices them. They're known for chic pointed toe flats, but that is just the beginning. They have tons of iconic head-turning designs in bright but sophisticated colors. Plus, Rothy's work great with every single outfit. Wear them with yoga pants or dress them up for a night out. They are insanely comfortable, like actually almost like a slipper. And as soon as you take your first step, you think, oh yes, that is more like it. And Rothy's takes sustainability to the next level. All their products are knit with thread made from plastic water bottles. How nuts is that? And how nuts is this? They have repurposed around 125 million water bottles so far. Dude, I love Rothy's. First of all, I can still remember when I got my first pair of Rothy's. I was in my apartment, I opened the box, and I said, ooh, I should try these on so that I can like break them in before I wear them, because if you wear flats, you know that with every other pair of flats, that's the case. I put these on my feet and I said, I could wear these out today. I could go run a mile in these. They are absolutely the most comfortable shoes that I have ever put on my feet, and among the cutest. I looked in the mirror, I was moving my foot around left to right, rotating it. I was saying, wow, these look cute from every angle. And get this. So I wore them out that day, of course I did. And I was like, not even worried about them getting dirty, because I found out that they are machine washable. Insane. I've washed them many, many times because, as we all know, I don't even know if you know this about me, but you do now, I'm a klutz. And I step in mud, I step in puddles, I fall, I trip, my shoes get dirty. You throw these in the wash machine, good as new. They don't shrink. They don't get like, I don't know, just like from being in the wash machine. You know that feeling of like, when it's in the wash machine too long? No, you don't get that with Rothy's. They're amazing. Your new favorite shoes are waiting. Discover the versatile styles that you can wear absolutely anywhere and get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/morbid. That's rothys.com/morbid for $20 off your first order.
All right, my next one is Haunted Hospital's Hidden Mass Grave, a New Orleans original.
Yikes.
And it says, hey, ladies, I will freak the heck out if you read this off air, and I will be deceased if you read it on the podcast. Whatever happens, thank you for being a morbidly bright spot in my life.
R.I.P. Oh, that's nice.
Hey, weirdos, Ash, Elena, y'all are my quarantine queens. A fellow weirdo and now good friend of mine, shout out to Millennia, recommended you guys to me right at the beginning of the lockdown back in March, and I can't listen to literally anything else while cooking, cleaning, driving, showering, exercising, etc. You two fabulous females are constantly in my ear. I procrastinated writing my listener tale for so long because I want to catch up on all the episodes first, but I just can't wait anymore. Also, feel free to use my name.
Will do.
Let me make sure. Hold on. I'm going to say what your name is. Hannah, you're the best. I didn't want to like not use your name. As I write this, I am on day 3 of no power, courtesy of Hurricane Zeta, Omega Beta Zeta.
This is CC.
Down in New Orleans. I'm taking it as a sign that I'm supposed to write this now because I have no idea how my laptop is still charged. It's fate. I agree.
Me too.
Our windows are wide open too because, you know, it's freaking Louisiana and it's helter-sweltering inside if you don't open windows while the power is out. Fresh air is for dead people, but so is dying of heat exhaustion. So I have to pick the lesser of two evils. Fair I get point. That.
We'll let it slide.
Yeah, and I slept on the couch.
Ooh, I said that too soon.
So many awful situations I've walked into here. One more rabble before the tale. Please, I beg of you, come to New Orleans when all this COVID stuff is over with. I will buy out your shows. The spooky capital of Louisiana will not disappoint, I promise. You know what? I fully believe that. And also, I don't know if it helps because at this point when you wrote this, it hadn't come out. But like I wrote a book that's based in New Orleans, Louisiana. So like, love you.
You did?
I did.
Is it called The Butcher and the Wren? Is it available at tinyurl.com/TheButcherAndTheWren?
It sure is.
Wild.
Go get your copy now.
How did I know?
Also, the Zach and Addie episode was freaky crazy to hear because of how close to home it hits. I have friends that worked with them on Bourbon Street and were so shocked when this happened. I got chill bumps when y'all did that one.
Ooh, I like chill bumps instead of goosebumps.
I do too.
I'm not a goose.
No, and I don't understand why they're goosebumps.
Can't drive, I'm a goose.
They're chill bumps.
Ooh, can somebody tell us why they're goosebumps? I wonder if there's a reason for that.
I'm sure there is.
Let me know.
Anywho, let's dive in. Sing it, Ash.
I'm about to dive in.
Boom. My listener tale just so happens to be based in this spoopy city I call home. Growing up visiting my family here, we went on every single haunted ghost tour the city had to offer. I am so jealous.
Oh, same.
We did all the cemetery tours, met the current voodoo queen, had our palms read and tarot cards told. Is that what one does with tarot cards? Tells them? I don't know the right verb. Sorry.
I think it's reads them.
There you go. I was going to be like, I think it's told. And you're like, no, it's not.
I was like, it's not.
And we heard every single legend so many times that I am now the tour guide for my friends that visit since I moved down here 3 years ago. I was obsessed with the AHS Coven season,
same.
Because of its historical accuracy to the base storylines. I also have had a photo session in front of the house they filmed it in. Color me a freak.
Oh my God, you're adorable and I love you.
You're my freak and I love you.
You're our freak. I want in on this.
You can have some too.
Okay.
Old abandoned buildings aren't taken down here. They simply are fenced off and haunt the space they sit in. Oh,
how beautiful.
Why
would you tear down a haunted house?
I love that so much. They literally just sit there until a mysterious fire destroys it or the crime rate at that location becomes overwhelming. Charity hospital, schools destroyed by Katrina, Hard Rock Hotel, the old naval base, they are all decaying, dilapidated, semi-falling down, covered in graffiti, and are frequent drop-in spots for discarded murder victims. Woof. These places are definitely haunted by their histories, if not by actual ghosts. Damn. Nothing surprises me here anymore. Nothing. That is until my last night playing tourist here roughly 2 years ago. I was teaching at an inner city school and had a particularly draining day of disrespect from students and administration scapegoating, i.e. a 9-year-old who responded with, "Fuck you, bitch," when I asked him to set down his headphones.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
I was about ready to get fired and be totally okay with it. It was a Friday night and my teacher friends were feeling the same. I love commiserating.
Commiserating is my favorite.
I love teachers also. Let me tell you. Yeah, you heroes. We decided to do something to celebrate the Halloween season and de-stress from the work week. We found a great Groupon, name drop for a hopeful sponsor. Love you so much. For cheap tickets to a citywide cemetery tour that encouraged us to BYOB. We didn't think twice and headed for downtown to meet up with the tour guide for 8 p.m. Now remember, I had been on all of these tours before, so I thought I wasn't getting into anything I wasn't ready for. That was problem number one. Okay, now for some background information on me for the rest of the story. I'm a Christian, and therefore fully believe that demons exist on this earth along with angels, and that ghosties sometimes need help passing into the other side. I'm skeptical of paranormal hunters simply because they make a lot of money scaring people with their fancy equipment. And I've seen it happen on multiple occasions down here. I don't trust humans. I think that's the main point. Same. Humans are sketchy as fuck.
Yeah.
I agree. The teacher friends I was with definitely did not believe the same as me in any regards, though. One thought this was a total crock and went along for the booze. I mean, same. And the other was so scared off her rocker, she had to cling to one of us the entire time. We were a weird trio of witches, let me tell ya. The rest of the people on this tour were Karens from mostly out of town. The tour guide was cheesy and looked like a SWAT team member ready to infiltrate a hostage situation with the amount of paranormal gear he had strapped to his body.
Oh, man.
He looked like the fly that sat upon Pence's hair a few weeks ago. Wow. Sign of the times.
Yeah, wow.
He might have been the creepiest part of the event had what happened at our last stop not occurred. Each participant had been given a spirit box, or whatever it's called. It was a little black box that made white noise sounding frequencies and translated energy from the spirits into the vicinity into English. I was intrigued. I'd never been given one of these on a tour and was hoping to get at least a little fun out of it. We climbed on a creepily decorated bus and hit about 4 different cemeteries. Each time, we'd pull up to a lot, unload off the bus, listen to the haunting histories of each place, and watch for the words the spirits gave us. I'd tell the familiar stories in my head and watch the Karens take pictures in the dark, hoping to catch an orb on their phone. I was enjoying seeing everyone freak out over the feigned spookiness of everything and sipped from my wine bottle. Yes, bottle. You don't have to hide your sin in NOLA, with my pinky up. I kept my eye on my little spirit box, but quickly grew tired of it as the words dog, dark, and girl popped up. Yawn. Climbing back into the bus, I was happy we were almost at the fifth and final stop, Abandoned Charity Hospital's mass grave. Charity Hospital was abandoned 3 weeks after Hurricane Katrina hit back in 2005. It is now an ominous building with weird hauntings of its own that could fill up an entire episode for you guys.
Noted.
I suggest looking more into it. That's actually on one of my lists because I want to do a bunch of New Orleans episodes, and that was on there.
Sweet.
Charity's doors first opened in 1736 and therefore has seen its fair share of deaths. When the tuberculosis breakout hit New Orleans hard way back when, there were too many cases and not enough plots to bury the dead. So Charity had a mass grave dug near where the highway sits today. Ooh. Thousands of people are buried on top of each other, and their sadness was buried with them. Families did not get closure, and loved ones were lost forever without a grave marker to visit. That's so sad.
That really is.
I had not heard about this place before. This had me on the edge of my bus seat with intrigue. Our bus pulled up at the gate of the Hurricane Katrina Memorial, and I was confused. This wasn't where I thought we were going, because Charity Hospital was about 2 miles away, and surrounding the Katrina Memorial, there were only trees. Where was the mass grave? Hold on to your butts, ladies. Apparently, the Katrina Memorial was placed in front of the mass grave, which was not marked. Our tour guide led us through the tall black gates towards the memorial. I'd been here before and was already trying to figure out what exactly we were going to find at this burial site. The guide walked behind the memorial towards the forest and moved some branches aside to reveal a break in the dense trees. The Katrina Memorial was covering the portal to Charity's grave. What?
That's so
we had
scary.
To push our way through unkempt trees in an untrodden path. Everyone was silent and holding their breath, which we could now see as the temperature ominously dropped and the moon was our only source of light. Both my friends were now clinging to either of my arms as we flailed through the cobwebs that hung delicately in the trees.
Oh, beautiful.
No, I know. No one was taking pictures. No one was looking at their ghost boxes. Strangers were grasping each other's shoulders. The guide was eerily serene. We couldn't hear the traffic from the busy highway right next to us anymore. The atmosphere was changing, and there was no denying that. The hair on my neck started to stand up. This literally was a portal. Then there came to view in the dim moonlight a single wooden cross centered in an all of a sudden vast, empty piece of land. Just one wooden cross. Huh.
Yeah.
There was a huge circular area of just grass, short grass, like it had been cut, even though this mass grave was no longer tended to.
What?
The wooden cross cast a long shadow across us from the moon shining behind it. The guide turned around to face us and said, "Explore."
Ooh, that's freaky.
Some of the braver tourists started moving forward. Some backed up to the tree line and didn't venture out at all. My two friends and I huddled together and slowly moved forward. I was shaking, and I don't know if it was because of the sudden cold or the sadness that had overwhelmed me.
Probably both.
This was not a happy place. This was a place of death. Our guide didn't have to tell us a story of its history because the atmosphere said it all. I stood still, taking in the melancholy of this place in the dark. Suddenly, my sadness was replaced by a pressing fear. My eyes searched for whatever threat my body was sensing, but I couldn't find anything. My friends must have felt it too, because they both raced back to the tree line with the others that hadn't dared to venture out. I could not move. My eyes were wide, and I could just stare into the vast field in front of me. My feet were cemented into the grass, and my knees were locked. My heart was pounding in my throat, and I started tearing up because I was petrified of this invisible horror around me. I started praying in my head because my lips wouldn't even move. I prayed for protection, safety, and begged for Jesus to come get me the heck out of there. My eyes then shot down to the ghost box as it pinged a word across the screen. Christian, leave.
Ooh.
I just got full chill bumps is what I just got.
Oh.
My entire body just became a field of chill bumps.
You are a chill bump.
Can you see them? Mine are standing up on end. My heart leapt through my chest as I processed those two words. That box had me laughing earlier at its generic terms at the other sites. But this was reading my thoughts and hearing my silent prayers. I tried to do as the box said, but I still could not move. My feet were set and my mouth was still sealed shut. I kept staring at the ghost box, hoping that no new words... I said ghost box.
You did? I was gonna let it go.
I felt it. I kept staring at the ghost box, hoping that no new words would pop up. I can't remember hearing anything but the white noise. I felt alone and terrified. New words flashed on the screen. Hannah, Christian, leave. That is my mother freaking name. Not today, Satan.
Oh my God. Can you imagine looking down and seeing that they know your fucking name?
No.
And like, it's not like you're like thinking like, my name is Hannah. Like, yeah. How did it know that?
It just knows. I don't know if it was this round of adrenaline finally working or that communicative daemon finally letting me go. I love the communicative diamond.
I love it.
Finally letting me go, but I could move again. And I can't tell you how fast I bolted back, not just to the tree line, but through the bramble and bushes to the serenity of the Katrina Memorial. I was out of breath and scratched from some of the tree branches, but the relief of the non-oppressing atmosphere was enough to calm me a bit. I sat on the ground for a while, hugging my knees to my chest, waiting for the rest of the group. Eventually, I could hear the crunch of leaves as the group meandered back to the memorial. Some people seemed to have the same relief as I did, seeing the lights of the street reappear and the traffic noise from the highway begin again. Others seemed disappointed. Maybe they didn't feel the atmosphere like I had. The creepy tour guide collected us around the memorial for a final word before loading the bus back up to the end of the tour. I found my friends sullen and silent as the group gathered around the guide. Friends, he whispered, regardless of your skepticism or full belief in what we did tonight, you must walk backwards out of the memorial gate. You absolutely do not want any spirit attaching themselves to you, and walking backwards helps confuse them. Please, whether you think I'm being silly or not, please do this.
Ooh.
Do it. Ladies, you best believe I backed that ass up out of the memorial faster than Juvenile himself. It gets better. Even after going through the gate, I white girl twerked myself back onto that bus.
Why is this so relatable?
Oh my God. Safe in my plastic bus seat once more with my friends, I started thinking. The words the guide had said reassured me that we fully knew the power that the charity mass grave held. We had witnessed so much there, and we hadn't spoken a single word about it. I wasn't going to talk about it either, I decided, and I haven't until now. Wow, thank you.
I know.
That bus ride was the most silent I'd been on. Literally no one spoke, and my friends and I went home immediately after getting back downtown. I haven't been on a ghost or cemetery tour since, and I don't know that I could muster up the courage to do so, in all honesty. Insert sigh of relief here. Reliving that had my heart rate increasing more than that stinky 9-year-old boy cursing me out over headphones. Anywho, I hope you enjoyed my tale of paranormal spoopiness, and I apologize for its length. Never do that. You girls keep being super freaking awesome, and again, I implore you to come to New Orleans.
All right.
Honey, I'm coming. I'm going to come. I wrote a book about it. I got to get there.
Let's go.
Keep it weird, morbid madams, but not so weird that you challenge the seriousness of spirits and demons and visit a mass unmarked grave with a ghost box after the sun goes down in New Orleans. Keep it weird. Love, Hannah.
Hannah, you're the baddest.
First of all, that was a phenomenal story and terrifying. Second of all, you're a great writer.
You are.
Like, man, I love you guys are... You guys always amaze me because you like paint me pictures that I'm like, ooh, I'm like just feeling things.
Gorgeous.
You're making me feel all the feels.
You're making me feel things.
Exactly.
I feel like you have to pause because there's a few that I could choose here in this folder. Oh, guys, I've like always wanted to go to Paris. Patty, that's why I've been learning to speak French. Because for all your summer travels, whether you're going abroad or staying domestic and wanting to immerse yourself in the culture, now is the perfect time to start Babbel. Babbel is the language learning app that has sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy bite-sized language lessons, there is still time to learn a new language before you reach your destination. With Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson. So you can start having real-life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages. They got Spanish, they got French, Italian, German, they got it all. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and your accent. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to their lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, even live classes, which are super fun to go on. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, save up to 60% off of your subscription when you go to babbel.com/morbid. That's babbel.com/morbid for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel, language for life. We all have that one friend who, when you ask how they're doing, they're like, oh, I'm fine. It's kind of the same with my cats. They seem fine, and since, you know, I mean, I talk to them, but, like, they don't talk back. And since they can't, I just go with it. I say, you seem fine, you look fine, cool, you're fine. Well, actually, I should say that I used to go with it, because now I don't just go with it. I wanted a little more peace of mind, which is exactly why I decided to make the switch to Pretty Litter, the world's most smartest cat litter. Clearly, I'm not the most smartest because you're not even supposed to say most smartest. Like, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, not about me. Pretty Litter crystals change color to help detect early signs of potential illnesses like urinary tract infections, metabolic acidosis, which sounds horrible, bladder crystals, and more. Pretty Litter is ultra absorbent and instantly traps odor. It's lightweight, it's dust-free, and it works for up to a month without clumping. That means you're not going to waste any more litter. Plus, Pretty Litter ships free to my door in a small, lightweight bag. I never run out, and I don't have a massive container of litter taking up space, and I don't have to lug that bulky container from a store to my car and into my house. That is like one of the main things that I hated about other cat litters is just lugging the freaking package up to my house and then unlugging it into the litter box. I mean, come on. And then it's like, ugh, it's just a pain in the butt. Your back hurts, you're annoyed, and then your back hurts and you're annoyed, and then you have to scoop litter and you're like, well, this is gross. But guess what? I mean, you definitely still have to scoop litter no matter what. You're a cat owner. But you don't have to scoop the pee-pee. You only got to scoop the poop when it comes to Pretty Litter. And the best thing of all, in my opinion, is just that you have peace of mind knowing just based on the color of the litter if your cat is doing good or not. Once you try Pretty Litter, it will be the only litter that you ever use. Head over to prettylitter.com right now and use code MORBID to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com, code MORBID, to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com, code MORBID. Ooh, I choose you.
Oh,
listener,
it's a good
tale
one.
Entitled "While Hitchhiking in Rural Louisiana, Got Rides from a Man Named After a Power Tool and Some Very Friendly Cocaine Dealers."
How could we not choose that?
It just spoke to me.
Yeah.
All right, says Elena and Ash, I love the Listener Tales episodes, so I thought I would write in with my favorite story about how even when hitchhiking works out, it can still be a little harrowing.
That seems to be the theme of our episode today, besides New Orleans.
It's
like hitchhiking in New Orleans can work out, but still be a little scary.
There you go. Here it goes. First, some setup. In the summer of 2008, I got an internship as a...
You almost did that soft G.
I did, and I almost was going to say as a giant.
I love it. A giant
which
writer.
Would have been funny because it's Grant writer.
Yeah.
But maybe you were a giant writer too.
Maybe.
So I got an internship as a grant writer for a rebuilding nonprofit in St. Bernard Parish, Louisiana, which is right next door to New Orleans.
Good for you.
This was only a few years post-Katrina, so there was still a lot of need and things were still kind of a mess. I also had zero experience living in a rural area, so much so that I was a junior in college and still had never bothered to get a driver's license. Only just got it last year. Fatherhood, it changes things.
It sure does.
Aw, congrats on being a Faja. The only place I could afford to rent was a former middle school that had been converted into a bunk bed style volunteering housing named Camp Hope. That was about 10 miles from the office where I worked. I figured, no problem, I'll bike. Only there was a problem. Shipping my reliable hybrid bike would have been super expensive. More expensive, it turns out, than just buying a new bike once I got down there. And I was in luck. In Chalamet?
You were about to say Chalamet.
I don't really know
Timothy
why.
Timothy Chalamet?
That's exactly where I was.
I love that.
Thank
you were
you
in Timothy
that.
Chalamet.
Chalamet.
So, Chalamet?
Chalamet? Chalamet. No,
Chalamet.
10 miles from Camp Hope, there was a business called Chalamet Bicycle and Lawnmower. So I was golden.
You were.
Ah, I hear you saying, I was saying this in my brain. What about rainy days? What then? Well, I also found out that the parish had some public transportation. St. Bernard Urban Rapid Transit. SBRT. Gross.
SBRT.
Gross. And I didn't say that they did.
But it is gross.
But it is. There was a website with routes and a timetable and everything. On rainy days, I would just get up early and take the bus. Easy peasy. As it turned out, St. Bernard Urban Rapid Transit was a name that contained no less than three lies. Urban, rapid, and transit.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. After waiting on an abandoned, overgrown street corner in the pouring rain for 45 minutes one morning, I finally called the number on the website and was told the timetables were... aspirational.
I love that they're like, we aspire to get there on time, but it doesn't always happen.
I love that they're literally like, see, here at SBRT, we dream big.
And
everybody
has
dreams.
We would
get there on time, but like, that's just us aspiring.
That's great.
Like, keep dreaming. They also said that the service basically amounted to a van for old people that needed to be scheduled a week in advance.
Amazing.
Service also ended at 3:30 p.m., so even if I was somehow able to take the bus to work, I would be shit out of luck getting home. But back to hitchhiking.
Wow.
Wow, that really does
suck. That's a lot.
I understand now why you had to hitchhike. Within one day of arriving in Louisiana, my bike plans began to fall apart. After taking a cab to Camp Hope and unpacking, I bummed a ride from some other volunteers going back into New Orleans who dropped me off at Chalamet.
At Timothy Chalamet.
His bicycle and lawnmower store, where my plan was to buy a bike and then ride back to Camp Hope. No, I didn't call ahead. Why wouldn't a place named Chalamet Bicycle and Lawnmower have anything less than bikes aplenty?
That's what I'm saying.
As it turns out, Chalamet Bicycle Singular.
I love that you're just going with Chalamet.
Yeah, it's just what it is. Chalamet Bicycle Singular and Lawnmower was well named. They only had one assembled bike.
Oh my God, stop.
And it had already been sold.
Stop it.
Also, I need to know, did they only have one lawnmower?
That's amazing.
Like, wow. This put me in a bit of a spot.
Yeah.
10 miles in 90 degree heat isn't much of a drive, and it's doable on a bike, but it is a pretty long walk.
Indeed.
I was in luck, however. After explaining to the owner that I was down there to volunteer, they were so grateful that they sold me the already assembled bike. Assemble a new one for another customer. And they threw in a helmet for free. This would become a common feature of my misadventures. Lots of really amazing people who were so grateful for and kind to anyone who was volunteering.
Aw, Norland.
That's really great. I love community. I rode the bike back to Camp Hope. My plans were still on track, more or less. This is where I need to describe the bike. It was a bright red beach cruiser, the kind with swooping handlebars, no gears, and where you needed to pedal backwards to brake. Needless to say, it wasn't really built for a daily 20 mile round trip commute, but it was literally my only option, so it was a fucking sea biscuit as far as I was concerned. The helmet I'd been given was also one of those very basic styrofoam ones.
Oh man.
The kind that very little kids wear, only scaled up for an adult. To put it bluntly, I looked ridiculous. Like a fat, dumpy mushroom that had gained... that had gained sentience and stolen Mrs. Gulch's bicycle.
Holy shit. The picture you painted there.
And may I just... In the city, I may not have merited a single glance, but on rural highways where pickup trucks were blowing past me at 45 miles an hour, let's just say I got more than a few things thrown at me.
Aww.
Both insults and objects during the couple of months that I lived
Poor
there.
Poor thing.
I'm sorry.
Don't throw things at people.
No, that's littering and assault. Two very hefty charges
Bad
there.
Bad things.
For about a week, my plan more or less worked. I would get up, shower, hop on my bike, white-knuckle it for about an hour in the 90-degree heat while all manner of trucks and semis blew past me, spend the day researching funding sources, and then repeat in the evening and get back to Camp Hope in time for dinner, which was included in my weekly fee.
Look at that.
It was during one of these return trips that I encountered my first real setback. About halfway through my route, there was a very scary bridge that went over the Violet Canal. It was scary because the bridge was shaped like a steep hill with no shoulder, and anyone coming up could not see what was on the other side of the bridge until they were coming down. So I crested the top. So once I crested the top, I'd book it down the other side for fear of being rear-ended by a speeding pickup.
Ooh. That's too horrifying. Much. That's too much for your little heart to take.
It is.
Christopher.
No. On this particular day, it wasn't the bridge that proved to be the problem, but the straightaway at the bottom. Did I say that? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, straightaway.
Thank you. After you came down, it was an unbroken mile and a half of road with bayou on both sides. No cross streets, no buildings, nothing. It was here that I experienced my first flat tire ever.
Oh no.
That sucks. I grew up in one of those Home Alone style suburbs where sidewalks were practically made from those rubber tiles that they used in playgrounds, so it never even occurred to me that a bike's tire could pop. As it turns out, the roads of post-Katrina Louisiana were more than up to the task.
I would say so.
Yeah. I managed not to crash, but it was clear that I wasn't going anywhere. I was still 3 miles from Camp Hope with the world's scariest bridge behind me, a mile of swamp in front of me, and, most important, dinner was in a half hour.
Hell yeah.
After weighing my options, I decided that hitchhiking was my best option. I held out my thumb, and in a matter of minutes, a black pickup truck pulled over. The driver was not a tall man, but he was so built that his shoulders had more or less absorbed his neck. He was bald, with a thick mustache and enormous arms that were covered with black tribal-style tattoos. "I used to hitchhike. Hop on in," he said in a gravelly voice. It was at this moment I remembered some advice my grandfather had given me. He'd once hitchhiked across the United States from San Diego to Boston after getting out of the Navy, and he told me that the hitchhiker's code was never turn down a ride. Mind you, when he'd passed through Louisiana, he'd been picked up by a very nice, talkative Cajun guy who, when they entered a small town, had, without a word, stopped speaking, slouched as low as he could in his seat, and produced a pistol from his waistband, only to sit back up and tuck it back in once they'd passed through.
What?
He then casually, almost cheerfully, informed my grandfather, who had not been told to get down. "Some crazy son of a bitch is trying to kill me in that town."
I'm screaming.
Wow, that's an epic story. Still, at that moment, with dinner on the line, it felt like solid advice.
This is amazing.
I put my bike in the flatbed and hopped in the cab. Immediately, things got very sweet and pretty weird. It became very clear that my buff chauffeur had a lot on his mind and was looking for someone to talk to. Evidently, he was pretty sure his girlfriend was cheating on him.
Aw, poor guy.
But his mother was very ill, and his possibly unfaithful girlfriend had been caring for her, so he wasn't sure if he should break up with her. I agreed that was a difficult situation. At 22, I naturally had a deep well of experience to draw from. He asked me what I was doing, and I gave him my usual spiel about being down there to volunteer. Without saying a word, he then pulled into a gas station and got out of the truck. He didn't go to the pump, but instead walked to the convenience store. I awkwardly sat there for a few minutes before he returned, and he handed me a popsicle.
Stop it.
"We really appreciate you guys coming down here to help us," he said.
Stop it.
We chatted for a few more minutes before we pulled up to Camp Hope, where I hopped out and grabbed my bike. Before he left, I walked to the driver's side door and held out my hand, saying, "Thank you so much. By the way, my name is Chris." He smiled, reached through the window, and just gripped my hand as tightly as he could. "Just call me Chainsaw,"
he said.
"Thank you, Chainsaw," I said, without batting an eye, because that's how I was raised.
That is how you were
raise Chris.
I love it.
That is. He's just like, you do not react to that. Just no. Nice to meet you, Chainsaw.
Call me Chainsaw. Okay.
Amazing.
From that day on, blowing out a tire became at least a twice. Yeah, from that day on, blowing out a tire became at least a twice weekly event. So much that I learned how to patch them myself and always carried a patch kit and a pump on my commutes. Still, even without those precautions, I had to hitchhike a few more times. Besides Chainsaw, the most memorable ride I got was amazing. From a truck filled with very friendly cocaine dealers.
Oh.
How did I know they were cocaine dealers?
I was going to ask.
A few things tipped me off. One, they told me they were cocaine dealers. Two, when they found out I was a volunteer, they insisted I have some cocaine on the house because they just really appreciated me being down there to help.
Everyone's so nice.
Not every cocaine dealer is going to just hand you some fuck-ass cocaine.
So nice.
And three, it became pretty clear from their hyperactive demeanor and the fact that they were easily doing 80 while I sat unrestrained in the truck's flatbed that they had recently gotten high on their own supply, so to speak.
Wow.
Incidentally, when I politely turned down their very generous offer of cocaine, they also pulled over at a gas station and bought me a Sprite and a Red Bull, which I guess in their minds was a close equivalent.
Honestly, in my mind too, I assume.
Yeah. And that is the story of how I hitchhiked in rural Louisiana, lived to tell the tale, met a really nice guy named Chainsaw, and some very friendly cocaine dealers. Thanks for reading. Hope you enjoy the story, Chris.
I enjoyed this story from the depths of my soul.
I enjoyed this story more than I enjoy most things.
Wow.
I am screaming.
Louisiana, y'all.
Everything.
This is amazing.
Could we do one more?
Yeah, we can do one more.
Yeah, let's do one more. What the hell?
All right, I'm going to go with voodoo or food allergy. Who the fuck knows?
Maybe it was both.
Not I. Hey, beautiful ladies of the weird. My name is Amy. Me.
Amazing.
Thank you for that.
I love a pronunciation guide.
And I have this weird story from the first time I visited the voodoo capital of the United States. You know, mother effing NOLA, New Orleans, for those not familiar with the lingo.
You gotta be familiar if you're here.
You gotta. In June of 2015, I'd moved to the devil's butt crack of Memphis, Tennessee to be with my fiance. He was there for work and I had to finish my master in special education back in Colorado, but I graduated and could move.
Yay. Also, what a great human you are.
Yeah. So this is not a comment about Memphis being a butt crack of a place, but rather a comment of how out of this world fucking hot it is. This girl's dainty Colorado skin can't handle the humidity or the heat. So I hope you understand the implications of moving to the south in the summer. I couldn't imagine.
Both of us could very much not imagine.
We're New Englanders. We understand.
We're pale New Englanders at that.
Well, after a month in July, for those of you not paying attention to the timeline, of trying to adjust to this butt crack heat, and a neighbor and his girlfriend talk us into spending a week in NOLA with them. This seemed like a great idea. I was a few drinks down the old, good old gullet and chest deep in the complex pool, so the heat wasn't really something I was considering. The heat, however, would come to be the reason I'm uncertain whether or not voodoo is real or if I have a food allergy. Maybe you can help me decide?
Let's do it.
Okay, so after a nighttime drive,
that worked
literally,
out really well.
Okay, so after a nighttime drive from Memphis to NOLA, we checked into the hotel room that we were sharing with friends. You know, because even as full-on grown-ass adults, we found it more important to save money than have our own privacy. Another mistake.
Yeah.
Anyway, we wake up early and head to the French Quarter to stuff our hungry faces with those powdered sugar-covered balls of fried heaven, a.k.a. beignets. Quick note, I spent about 10 minutes trying to spell that correctly. I get you. Well, it was 10 a.m. and I was already sweating more than I care to admit. Let's just say I sweat like a man.
Same.
Always have, always will, and it's my biggest regret. Ha ha ha. But I digress.
You can get Botox in your armpits.
There you go. The Ash's life tips.
Yeah.
So I was sweating a lot, and I should have known that when I was going too long for any sort of reprieve from this death air as we walked around. So we ended up walking in and out of stores where I would go find the vent of the AC and stand under it while I tried to tame the sweat pouring off my head. Did I mention I sweat like a man?
Botox.
But it also meant we would find ourselves in a few different bars and restaurants trying different foods and sucking down a beer and water to cool off. I get it. Beer is kind of counterproductive, but whatever. I do what I want. I love that. I do what I want.
Yeah,
off.
Amazing.
So about halfway through the day, I'd find myself desperately needing cool air, and then I see it. A voodoo store one of the main ones near the actual French Quarter. So being a fellow weirdo and lover of AHS's Coven, hell yeah, another mention,
hell yeah,
I decided to make everyone stop in and check out the scene. I try to be open-minded about things, so I was curious to see how this place made me feel. When I walked in, I was thoroughly impressed with the AC situation. I'd give it a solid B+. Then I was mesmerized by what I saw. It was dark, but not scary dark, and it was full of heads, which typically would make me feel weird, but in this scenario, I was intrigued. I was walking around, the male part of the couple we were with goes, "Hey, Amy, is this you?" And your best, oh, excuse me, I didn't realize that was with a southern drawl.
You had to say,
"Hey, hey, Amy, is this is you?"
We just offended so many people. We did. But we love you so much.
We do. In your best deep southern drawl, southern accent, he's from Tennessee, and starts stabbing a voodoo doll in the stomach with the supplied pin 6 times.
Why the fuck would he do that?
We both giggle and continue looking around the store.
That's not silly.
After about 30 minutes and dozens of, "Oh my God, look at this," statements, I cooled down enough to move on. I'd have happily stayed there for longer, but we needed to make our way back to the hotel to get ready for our night on Bourbon Street. Woo, party.
Oh, I've seen those TikToks.
So we leave and make our way down to where we parked, and halfway there, I decided I wanted a beer. Really, I just wanted to cool down. So we stopped by a restaurant with a huge sign advertising their raw oyster plate.
Oh,
or platter?
Fuck yes.
Who the fuck knows? My fiance excitedly states, "Oh my God, we get to have some fresh oysters while we're down here." So we order 12. Yes, 12 slimy fresh oysters to consume while we enjoy our beer and water. Another fucking mistake.
That's not a mistake.
I'm getting to try new foods, and oysters didn't seem so bad to me because I love sushi. So what the hell? Why not? My fiance and I cheers to eating oysters. Our friends were smart and decided against it. And we slurped them down one at a time until all 12 were gone. Okay, they weren't horrible, but I'm not going to say swallowing down a large loogie textured thing is an easy task. I never have been able to handle what they look like.
Oysters are among my favorite things in the world. And Drew loves oysters, too. I, like, made him love oysters. Ugh. And we were gonna have oysters at the wedding, but we can't because my uncle has a seafood allergy.
And it's, like, fatal.
Like a fatal allergy. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life can be overwhelming, and many people are burned out without even knowing it. Symptoms can include a lack of motivation, feeling helpless or trapped, detachment, fatigue, and more. I felt at least 3 of those things for a long time before I started therapy. We associate burnout with work, but that is not the only cause. Any of our roles in life can lead us to feel burned out. And BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Talking with somebody can help you figure out what's causing you stress in your life. In fact, I am looking forward to my personal therapy session this week because I've been a little stressed out lately and I can't wait to talk to my girl about my life problems. And I feel like you should have a girl or a guy or whoever to do the same thing for you, a therapist. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anybody on camera if you don't want to. It is much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Morbid listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/morbid. That's betterhelp.com/morbid.
Well, luckily, I'm down with some cocktail sauce and onions, so I was able to do my part and eat 6 of them. We guzzled down our beers, and life was good. I was ready to brave the devil's ball sack. For some reason, I imagine ball sacks to be hotter than butt cracks, and NOLA is hotter than Memphis, but I will never really know because I have a vagina.
I just love how you worked that out.
Your train of thought is my favorite thing ever.
It's also, like, weirdly relatable. I feel like that's how my brain works.
Just working through it as we go. And as we get to the car, something doesn't feel right.
Uh-oh.
I passed it off that I drank my beer too fast and I just need to digest. But boy, was I mistaken.
Oh, no.
We stop off at the gas station to grab some hydration to have before we head out for the night. And as we were checking out, something happens. I get that, "Oh my God, I'm going to shit my pants" feeling. I managed to get myself to the hotel room and bust open the door just in time to Shit, my brain's out. Remember how we wanted to save money and share a room? Well, this is when I realized we made that mistake. I washed my hands, splashed water on my face, and head out of the room to giggle with everyone about the noises that were coming from the bathroom while I was in there.
Oh, I bet. And it probably didn't even have a fan. Yeah. You know, when you have to go in the bathroom and like have a quiet moment and you're like, ooh, fan.
Ooh, a fan. That probably didn't have
so
a fan.
So disappointing when the fan's not there.
Yeah. I had decided halfway through the situation that I needed no pride. Haha. Our male friend decided he would go take his shower and then go fill up his truck with gas while the rest of us got ready. Well, as he was showering, I got the, oh no, I'm going to spew everywhere feeling. And I had to bust in the bathroom to get to the toilet before my stomach contents ended up on the floor. Hotel rooms aren't overly convenient for someone who needs to barf, just saying.
No, they're really not.
I apologize and head back to the bed, and the realization sinks in that I'ma miss out on Bourbon Street.
Oh.
And replace that fun with barfing / pooping for the rest of the night. For 6 hours, I alternated between throwing up and shitting my brains out. For the record, that's 6 stabs into the Amy Voodoo doll, 6 oysters, and 6 hours of barfing and shitting. Strange? Methinks so.
I'm gonna have to agree.
I gotta say, that's weird. So our friends get back from the bars just as I'm starting to feel better, and I actually wake up feeling better than their partying asses. Well, it was time to head back to Memphis, so we pack our shit and leave. It wasn't until we were driving back that it started to click for me. Our fucking friend could have cursed me with that voodoo doll. But then I remember that this wasn't the first time I had oysters, and I ended up throwing that up that night too. It has been a bit of a blur due to the wine consumption. So here I am wondering for the rest of my life whether it was voodoo or a food allergy that made me sick that night. I have no intention of finding out if oysters make me sick. And honestly, I'm not upset about not putting one of those things in my mouth again. So I suppose we will never know. But what do you think? Voodoo or food allergy?
I'm going with what I said in the beginning, a combination of both.
Yeah, a combo of both, I would say. Thank you for reading my story about barfing and shitting.
No,
it's not every day you can put that in a story and assume it won't offend anyone. If this story taught me anything, it's don't fucking go anywhere in the South during the summer. It's too fucking hot and weird things happen. We moved back to Colorado, and I must say, my dainty Colorado skin's been much happier. I love the South. Many great things are there, but prefer less oxygen due to high altitude and dry air. I hope this finds you ladies with abundance of awesomeness, because let's face it, you deserve it. For how many people of you have helped through this effing pandemic with your podcast? Love you guts. My Aussie friends say that to me, and I think I'm cool like them, so now I say it too. I love that Aussie people say that.
Yeah,
love you guts, because I say that.
You do say that.
I love that. So keep it weird, but not so weird you sweat your ass off, try to escape the heat by using stores AC. Let me say that again.
Yeah, you gotta start over.
You can't stop.
No.
But not so weird you sweat your ass off, try to escape the heat by using stores for their AC, drink beer, even though it's against your better judgment, and go to a voodoo stop to have a... Fuck.
All right, ready?
You do it. You got to do it. I fucked it up.
So keep it weird, but not so weird that you sweat your ass off, try to escape the heat by using their stores for their... I fucked up too. Let me try one more time.
Something's happening
here. Hold on, let me try one more time. So keep it weird, but not so weird that you sweat your ass off, try to escape the heat by using stores for their AC, drink beer even though it's against your better judgment, go to a voodoo shop to have a voodoo doll of you stab 6 times, eat 6 oysters trying to cool down, and then barf and poop for 6 hours as a result of one of those 2 other things.
Boom, we did it. But why was that so hard?
I don't know.
One last note, I've still never been to Bourbon Street. Cheers.
Honestly, I think that like Bourbon Street, I don't know if I would go there.
I think Bourbon Street is like a daytime activity.
Yeah,
like look not at a this nighttime Bourbon activity. Street fun. I think at night, from what I hear, I'm sitting here speaking like I've been there.
Me too.
Now.
Me too.
From what I've heard, it gets a little gnarly at night.
Yeah, well, and from what I've seen, like if you've ever seen a TikTok of Bourbon Street at night,
yeah,
you don't want to end up on a TikTok on Bourbon Street.
Nah,
at
you
night.
Definitely don't want to do that.
No,
so I think that's like a daytime activity.
A daytime activity.
I don't know. I'm officially malfunctioning now. So
it's the end of the episode. So
there,
you did it.
There we are. So guys, that was like our fun New Orleans episode.
I loved it.
There was like less crazy, you know, like this wasn't like a super like murderous episode or anything like that, but yeah. Man, there was some scary ghosts in this one, and there
for
was
sure.
Some fun hitchhiking adventures.
And poop is always scary.
And possible voodoo curse.
Yeah.
So
definitely scary.
There we go. This was a fun one.
It was. So we hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it
weird. But not so weird that you don't write us in another tale about a listener story in New Orleans, because I really just want you to keep doing that, and I don't know why I said it like an Irish woman.
Thank you so much. I was just going to say she said New Orleans.
I've been watching a lot of Below Deck.
I liked that a lot. New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Forever.
Ashley.
If If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
In May of 1980, near Anaheim, California, Dorothy Jane Scott noticed her friend had an inflamed red wound on his arm and seemed unwell. She insisted on driving him to the local hospital to get treatment. While he waited for his prescription, Dorothy went to grab her car to pick him up at the exit, but would never be seen alive again, leaving us to wonder, decades later, what really happened to Dorothy Jane Scott. From Wondery, Generation Y is a podcast that covers notable true crime cases like this one and many more. Every week, hosts Aaron and Justin sit down to discuss a new case, covering every angle and theory, walking through the forensic evidence, and interviewing those close to the case to try to discover what happened. And with over 450 episodes, there's a case for every true crime listener. Follow the Generation Y podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.